The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
We are now chatting with the NPTA. The NPTA speaks this morning. Again, we say good morning to Walter Stewart, who is not here. He's usually here with us on a Wednesday, chatting with us. We now have the first Vice President, Zena Ramatali, and the PRO, the National PRO of the NPTA, Ms. Jana Thomas. They are both in the building. And let me say good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Great to have you ladies in with me this morning. School is about to start yet again, and it's high time that persons understand the benefits of the Parent-Teacher Association. Now, I, for one, always thought it to be fruitless and not make much sense. And you call me the government school, I never see the significance and importance of it. So I, for the benefit of me now, because I have two sons, and I want persons who are listening to understand when the school says PTA meeting, why it is important that you don't send the big brother or the big sister, but you as a parent, if not both of you, one of you, show up for that child. Good morning again, First Vice President, and to the National PRO. Good morning.
Good morning. To you and to all the listeners. Yeah.
Synchronization at its best. I want to say to Walter, you train them well. So let's, who's going to kick things? I will go with the First Vice President in terms of the importance and significance of the PTA.
Well, I want to say that, you know, the National Parent Teachers Association, we are celebrating our 65th anniversary this year. 65 years of existence.
Well, you're older than the independence.
We are. And we have been in existence without crashing. We are one of the oldest child advocacy organizations in the country, with an Act of Parliament 18 of 1976. So that gives us legal status to be in any primary school, well, from preschool, primary school, trade centers, institutional educational institutions across the country. We can have legitimate PTAs. And we have our few, we have up some objectives, and I will just like to quote three for our listeners who believe that the PTA do not play that important role in your child or children's lives.
That's the point.
And this morning we want to be able to convert many of the listeners, schools, principals and teachers who do not believe a PTA is important in a school. So first three objectives, and I always quote that wherever I go across the country, to promote the welfare of children and young persons at home, school, church, and in the community. That's the first mandate.
To promote
the welfare of children and young persons at home, school, church, and in the community.
Beautiful.
Two, to raise the standard of home life and in the community. And three, and this, I will just quote these three, to secure adequate laws for the care and protection of young persons. And if you want me to just press on for our listeners, to bring into closer relationship the home and the school, so that parents and teachers shall cooperate intelligently in the training of the child. So by parents getting involved, and as I always say, parental involvement equals student success. So we have 835 schools in the country. How many of these PTAs are affiliated to us? And we are working on reaching out to all our schools to have an affiliated PTA. We are the recognized body with the Act of Parliament that we can stand up to scrutiny. We can represent the interests and the welfare of the children. Right? And I know as we continue the conversation, we will look at some of the real benefits that PTAs have when you are affiliated to the National PTA. So when we speak for our member units. So everybody say, what is National PTA doing? What is National PTA saying? Who are they representing? While we speak for all children, we represent the interests of our member units, our PTAs that are affiliated to us and that pay dues, a small amount, no big amount, to the national PTA. Right?
So there's like a nice union.
Well, we are not a union, because when you look at the national PTA, we are a legal organization with the Act of Parliament. We are a pressure group. And the pressure group means that you will look at issues that affect the children. And if we have to put pressure on the relevant authorities to bring about a change, that is what we will do. We have a social gathering. So we have events. And I think the PRO can tell you of many of the events the regions and units are taking part in. We are a training institute. So we train our members. So when you come on board, you will be trained. So we would not leave you up to yourselves and you function as you want. No, we have a training manual. We have a members guide. So we guide our members. And we are a watchdog organization. So when you are affiliated to the National PTA, the National PTA watch out for you, and the unit's supposed to be able to engage in meaningful activities in the school that will benefit teaching and learning. So it's not just to come and raise funds, but it is mainly advocacy. You're looking at the environment of the school. Is it conducive to teaching and learning? We're looking at the health of the children. We are looking at the safety of the children. We are now talking about putting police officers in the schools. That will be to secure the interests and how safe our children will be. Who will be reaching out? Who will be talking for our children? Right? We are a voluntary organization with a professional approach. So,
all right,
that's a mouthful,
but I
look forward, you know, to the discourse this morning.
Miss Jana.
I think the first vice said everything that needed to be said. All I would like to add to that is that we represent parents. A decision that is made on any major stakeholder in Trinidad and Tobago, whether it's the Ministry of Education, the Ministry of Health, they need to consult with the parents, with the PTA. That makes the National Council of Parent Teachers Association, that makes all of our PTAs the most important stakeholder in this country.
That's
the Parent Teachers Association, because we advocate for the rights of our students, for our teachers, and for our parents.
Hello, good morning.
Morning, Amy.
Morning.
Morning to you again. I want to ask you, guess how do they quantify their success rate, and what figures of money do you collect from your members, and what actions do you take, if any, against delinquent parents? Because to me, the problem is not the school. Well, maybe a little bit the problem to a certain extent to the teachers, but if that child do have a conducive environment at home and parents that support them all for long, what measures do you have to take action against parents, well, delinquent parents? I'll listen off it.
I don't think they have any measures, I think recommendations as to what could be done.
I mean, when you look at, we use a lot of moral suasion. There are laws in the country, you know, if parents, in dealing with children.
Mm-hmm.
However, we, the National PTA, for years have been speaking about, and it's something we never agreed upon, that parents should be held accountable for their children's behavior or parents not attending PTAs. You know, we would like to see the day when it is enshrined in law that parents be given time off to attend PTA meetings and to attend to matters affecting their children, you know, at school. So some parents really do not see the importance. They feel that if you call them to the school, and many times parents are called to the school for some bad behavior of their children.
Mm-hmm.
They are never called to say, well, your child did well. Let us celebrate the success of how children did in the term tests. What are the results? Did a good deed? And these are some things that we need to look at. Now, yes, parents should be responsible. And that's what we are about. And at our PTA meetings, if we do a survey, we will see, and I think sometime the PRO, we engage in that kind of survey.
Mm-hmm.
The parents who come to schools, who attend meetings, everything, they are part of the school, they are involved in the school, their children succeed. Right? Look at our PRO and other members that had fantastic CSEC results. And that is because they are PTA mothers. We all are. And all our children did well. So we want to encourage our parents, and not only the mothers, but the fathers as well. So when the school call and your phone ringing and you change your number, that is something you need to look at. Mm-hmm. Because these are your precious gems. And why would you not want to answer a call to come to the school when the principal or the teachers are calling you, right? And we equate our success. We are 65 years, right? Yes, we would have fallen here and there, but we represent the interests of the children on various committees and boards over the years. We sit at the table, right? Mm-hmm. We sit at the table, as a matter of fact, and our national president is listening. We just had a meeting with the Minister of Education discussing matters pertaining to PTAs and parents in the country. Our president and officers met with the commissioner office, the police. So those are some of our successes. We host training seminars. We just had a big training in Victoria region. And good morning to our president from Victoria, Tracy Turner Allen, and other presidents who are listening from Carony, Port of Spain, First Vice, and all those who are listening. So we do our part as a national association. We are a voluntary organization. We get a subvention from the government. But we can do much more with funds that PTAs raise and PTAs contribute to the schools. So funds are not just raised for, you know, to store in the bank. We look at book drive, uniform drive, all those things are our successes. And if you look at from since COVID to now, PTAs are more hands-on into the community, given of the needs. We also speak to curriculum. We are looking at what is happening, the results at SEA level and at CSEC, at CAPE level. And those are some of the things the PTA must focus on, and not just the part where you call us and you say, look, I need a bale of toilet paper, or we want some kind of funds. Long are gone the days with we say cake and bake sales. The PTA, we are a major voice, and we want to be always seated at the table.
All right, let's go. Well, the caller went. Jana, you had a thought?
I just wanted to add that unit PTAs, when we say unit PTAs, we mean school PTAs.
I was not about to get to that. Right. So let's talk about that.
So that is very important, as well as what the caller would have asked earlier in terms of what they are doing with their parents. Unit PTAs, they're like the heart of the organization. They're the ones that are on the ground doing the work. So you will find unit PTAs having programs, either whether it's to the education officer, the welfare officer, or the entire executive, that will engage parents within a school. So yes, we understand that there are parents that may be disengaged and may not be a part of it, but those unit PTAs are really the ones that are on the ground, like the arms, reaching out to those parents and bringing them in, because they understand the culture of what's happening within their community, within their school, and they can really make more of an impact on the road. Whereas we at the national now will train them and guide them and ensure that they have the resources as unit or school PTAs to be able to reach out to those parents.
As parents, as children leave schools and go to different schools, new parents come in. Do parents that students no longer attend those particular schools, are they still a member of the PTA? Are they still allowed to be?
Yes, some of them stay on for a period of time, because enshrined in our constitution says anyone that seeks the interest and welfare of the children can be a member, even if you do not have a child in the school. So, okay. I mean, those are some things some persons question. And we know sometime we will review that in our constitution. But we welcome, for instance, you might have surrogate, you might have guardians, you might have a godmother, somebody, because many PTAs have gone to, they do not have biological children, but they attend PTA meetings, they live next door, right? And they want to come in and contribute. Mm, okay. We welcome those partners and those stakeholders that interested in the welfare of children.
Any parent who fails to attend when summoned by the school, the child in question should not be allowed to resume classes until the parent come and meet with the school officials. And they say that should be law. Currently, that is subjected to the principal, whether they are or not, because they say, okay, something happens, we need to see a parent, they send a note, and they will tell you. Some schools, if your parent doesn't come, you're not allowed back in classes. How is the PTA dealing with this? Or how are you all looking at it? Is this something you all want to see law, or is it just subjective to the school?
Now, there's the code of conduct, there's the discipline matrix, and so on. So every school, if schools have rules, right, in terms of students must follow. So if students break some rules or have some infractions and so forth, the school will investigate. Obviously, it is the parents' rights as well. But parents, when schools call parents, they must attend. They must not abdicate their role and responsibility of attending when the principal or the district office calls you. All right? And I think that is something that parents must look at, because you want to ensure that we are raising the kind of ideal citizen that will be respectful, that will understand how to manage conflict. All of these things, you know, impacts on our children in the future. So I am hoping that, parents listening, if you are guilty of, your child breaking some rule at school, attend and mediate. You know, if you have to, there are consequences for certain infractions. There's suspension and there's extended suspension by the Ministry of Education. Only the minister could give extended suspension. All right? But it is the role of the parents to come when they are called.
How are you all addressing... Well, I shouldn't ask that question. I think we already have an answer to that question. But is the National PTA satisfied with the reopening of the new school term? I think when I spoke with the president, he said quite a few schools would have been ready. Of course, renovations was completed. It still have some that needs completion. But are you all satisfied with the furniture that's been in the school? I mean, I visited schools last term, and I am telling you, the furniture, OMG, boy. Ooh, deplorable. Not to mention the graffiti on the walls, that mature people in society, teachers, learned luminaries have to go into these classes and teach these students and looking up and seeing these things. How is the PTA addressing those issues? In terms of the funding to paint it over, is that a ministry thing, or is the PTA's engaging in such? Are they allowed to?
The PTA's role really is to support whatever the school needs. And we would have done a recent survey. And in that survey, not that we didn't know before, but it's a big challenge, school furniture within most of our schools. That is where the PTA is coming. That's when parents come in. Yes, we know we have to wait on the processes and the ministry and everything else. But the PTA now, unit PTA, school PTAs now have the opportunity to raise funds, to be able to source volunteers within their school unit. Because in schools, we have carpenters, we have painters, we have parents within a school environment that can assist with it. So that is really where the PTA will come in, using the human resources that they have within the school to raise funds, as well as to help assist with the furniture situation.
As you mentioned, raise funds, this question directed to you as the public relations officer, as we going away from the bake sale and the barbecues.
But before you go there, we have PTAs right now. They send some, in my own region, in St. George, they send some pictures on. We have a president's chat with all the PTAs affiliated. They on all of us have that kind of chat. And they send some pictures where right now they are painting classrooms, they are changing windows, and there are PTAs last year who actually termite-ridden furniture, the PTA raised funds, and they were able to repair furniture for that particular school. And I know they are in many other schools, but that is something we must encourage our Ministry of Education to look at this point in time, the issue of furniture across the country. That is sadly lacking.
And let's talk about the raising funds aspect. I mean, we're going away from the bake and the cake and the pelori sales, right? That we will throw from time to time. What is the NPTA really engaging in to really bring in that cash flow that is necessary to rehabilitate these schools?
Well, again, it goes back to the unit PTAs. They have their mandate within their school. They have various ways that they can raise funds. And as the first vice says, no longer cake sales and bake sales. We have evolved in terms of things that can be done. There are programs that they are hosting, their events, their public events, their boat cruises. There are so many different things that unit PTAs are doing. What we do from a national level is that we ensure that our units, how they raise their funds to help their specific school, is that it's managed properly. that it's accounted for properly, that there's transparency, and that we guide them in terms of what they should be doing with the funds. So the funds does not belong to you as the president or the treasurer of the PTA. It is for the benefit of the school. It's not to sit down in a bank account, as the first vice said earlier. It is to really help whatever it is the school needs, whether it's programs. But we also recommend that when you're raising funds, not every event that you have is going to be a fundraiser. Because as a parent, we know what is said. Every time I go to a PTA meeting, there's always money, money, money. No. You raise funds today, your next event should be a social event, or your next event should be a family event, or as something to help the education structure within the school.
All right. Let's take a question quickly. Hello, good morning.
Hey, Davey, good morning. Good morning to you, guys. I just want to find out, how does the National PTA address the situation of PTAs, unit PTAs, holding fundraisers for a particular project in the school and it never gets done? How is the unit PTA being accountable? Who do they account to? How is the accounting process work? Do you have that set up that where they send a balance sheet to you at every end of the year or every 6 months or by or whatever it is to show how their funds were raised and where it was expended and or how much is sitting at the bank account?
Very good question. I want to say that I can speak to my region, and Ms. Thomas will talk about her region and other regions across the country. Now, we have at our regional meetings, we have our president's report, monthly report, verbally and written reports. And they must give account at every election we attend. They must have, before we conduct an election, they must have a secretary's report and they must have a treasurer's report. And I emphasize to them, you must give us accurate accounting of the funds raised. So you cannot raise funds for one thing and use it for something else. And if you raise funds for what it was raised, you use the funds there. If it is you want to use it for something else, you must consult with your membership. But you cannot just raise funds and not use it for what it was raised for. So, for instance, we just had a fundraiser. And we are still in the process of finalizing how we're going to disperse these funds to schools in our region. And I really want to encourage unit PTAs, you know, to be accountable and to be transparent where fundraising, where it is concerned. And an important point is that fundraising should be used for educational programs in the school to uplift, to improve teaching and learning so that you raise some funds. You could buy some books, find out what are the needs of the school and how you could contribute from those funds that you raise. So the funds should not just be raised and spent how you like it. No, the principal is ex officio, so you can sit at an executive meeting and discuss how these funds are going to be spent at the school on children and parents and for the student population as a whole, rather than you just raising funds. So any PTA that come to our meeting, you raise funds, you have to give us that. I insist. And that is something that we will continue to say because, and at the regional level, because we have the units and region. So every month, every other month, when we go to regional meetings, each region have to present in their regional report to the national council your funds raised. So you're given account there. So the national PTA is aware that how much funds St. George has, Port of Spain, other regions. And if it is not there, you did not produce that report, you have 14 days to do it. So we have a structure in place that members don't know and parents don't know. And I'm hoping that you will understand more that when you become an avid PTA member, that you will give an account for whatever goes on in the school.
I'm very happy to hear that. There's not a situation where there are any one unit of a PTA can hold a fundraiser without notifying the general council.
And what we do as well in the Port of Spain region is we assign region, because there's a region executive, representatives to various schools. So each region executive will have 5 schools that they're responsible for oversight. So they will check in on their fundraisers, make sure they're attending events and they're reporting and so forth to add an additional layer of
transparency and accountability. That was my next question. And yeah, I mean, you guys came well prepared, and I want to thank you. You know, final question. Make it 30 seconds, please. We have to go.
Morning, Aggie, and to your guest. I raised the question of delinquent parents. So yeah, I just want to ask your guest, if the PTA can engage the government in programs for delinquent parents, because you have parents getting a lot younger. Probably don't know how to, they don't know probably basic maths or English.
All right, I understand. I have to cut the question short. All right, I think we get the census, but we're really running out of time. So any engagement by you guys with government for this?
The National PTA has already put a proposal to the Prime Minister, well, former government, for a parenting program, a national parenting program. But the PTA on a whole, region, national, and unit members, are constantly engaging with different welfare organizations to partner with parenting programs. So we do recognize that there are parents that need that additional help in terms of how they parent. We ensure that we have the right partnerships so that we can bring those programs to our parents.
Yes, certainly we are. That is something we... Definitely, that's one of our mandate, you know, to ensure that parents have the necessary tools, the skills and competencies, and that is enshrined in our vision and mission, right? So if it is that we have training programs, we want parents to come out. When we have community projects, for instance, our national president spoke out about starting from in the health centers. And that is something that I think is in the proposal to start parenting from the, before you have the baby, we start in at the health centers. So I'm hoping that somebody listening, join the PTA, become affiliated, come on board with the national PTA. Who is the oldest child advocacy organization?
Contact information if they want to join the National PTA. How do they get in touch with you all? Phone numbers, email addresses, very quickly, please.
Well, you can get us on nptatnt@gmail.com. We also are available on all the social media. They'll be on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. So you can find us at nptatnt.com.
At nptatnt.com.
Correct.
Zena, Jana, Jana.
Yes.
Thank you so much for passing through.
Thank
first Vice Chair
us.
And First President, Vice President and PRO, Public Relations Officer. Thank you for passing through. And Walter, well done, or no, Waltz? Well done, Waltz, man. I miss you this morning, but good job. I see that you could send out your peeps, man. You could send them out, man. And they can represent the National Parent Teachers Association quite well. A wealth of information shared this morning, giving parents a proper consensus as to why it is important to be a part of the Parent Teachers Association. Stop do like me and think it was something, you know. Way boy, another fundraiser. Get to it. Your child's well-being is at stake. Folks, it's a wrap for me on the Morning Rumble this morning. It has been great chatting with you guys.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.